Okay, our reference scriptures will come from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, and Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. We've already read through them before earlier, so at your leisure you can read through them, but you can refer back to them as we discuss the lesson. That's where we'll be coming from. Okay, we are in the section talking about elders again.
Again.
By the time we finish this, it shouldn't ought to be nothing you don't know about elders and deacons and evangelists, leaders of the church in general. Can I get someone to start reading on the bottom of page 64 under elders? Anyway.
Paul begins. Paul begins his description of Christian leaders by glancing at motivation. Why should one want to serve as an overseer? It entails the acceptance of responsibility and attendant headaches. Paul answers that Christian leadership is a good work. That's enough. One accepts the office of elder. He doesn't campaign for it. Effective leaders are not motivated by power. They have no interest in imposing their wills. It is not for self-acclaim or prestige. Leadership in the church is an avenue to serve. For that reason, it is a good work.
Yeah, go to the next one too.
Paul's description of the men churches are to choose as elders offers little by way of a checklist. Most of the qualities he mentions are matters of degree. No one is perfectly above reproach or prudent or gentle, according to 1 Timothy 3:2. Mm-hmm. People have such qualities to a greater or lesser degree. They are the kinds of things churches look for in their leaders.
Okay. So we can see here from these two paragraphs what the author is telling us, basically that the person has to have the desire to serve. It's an appointed position, but it's not a position that someone would readily jump up and want to campaign for, as we do with, say, politicians and people of position in an organization, more or less. But it is basically the humblest of people, of men, that have that willingness to want to serve. And as he states first of all, that it's a lot to it. You will meet, it's bad enough to live a life of a Christian, but you will be living a life of, and we talked about this before earlier, bishop, elders, overseers, and ministers all fall under the same category. So interchangeably, you may see the words, but it still means the same thing. It's still referring to the same person. That they're not supposed to be a person that's going to be in a position where they put themselves above anybody else in the congregation, and they have a desire to serve, which is a humbling experience. Hopefully they will have. That's their characteristic, not just something that they are going to attain as they get into that position, but it's something that they already have. And that's what you look for in the leaders of the church. And as we talked about last week, that this is... I can't remember my exact words from last week, but we want to make sure we understand the context of what we're talking about, and not so much as trying to adhere to the letter of the word and lose the whole basic concepts of what we're talking about or what we're saying. That was one of the problems with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, wanting to keep the law so much that they forgot all about what the law was for. So we want to make sure we have understanding. Yeah, we've been going over this for a couple of weeks, but we hope that we'll all be on the same page and have the same understanding of what we're referring to, what we're talking about. Yes?
I think there is also a greater responsibility for elders than what a worldly responsibility would be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people don't really understand that because every elder, every deacon, every teacher is going to be held responsible.
Yeah.
Once they stand before the Lord, you know, what have you done? Have you taught the truth? I mean, it's a great responsibility, and for one to be willing to take that on, it's tremendous.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I would be remiss if I didn't say anything about my late husband as an elder. He did not at work. He was approachable, you know. And he will always give you a Bible answer to a Bible question. So
mm-hmm.
It's okay to shout out when we talk about the elder, his name. I appreciate that.
Okay. Very good. Any other comments? One thing I wanted, I got from, we should hopefully we'll see more so as we get into the lesson a little bit more. They refer to, in different passages, of the term ruling over. We can't get that confused with, in biblical terms, when they had rulers such as kings, and even today with people in a position where they think they are in a position of a ruler. It is not to be taken as someone that is actually, even though the term is used, overseer, it doesn't mean that you are obligated or you must do everything that an elder, bishop, overseer, pastor, they got the word pastor from Presbyterian side, but the minister, his word is not etched in stone, and he is not like a dictator, or he shouldn't be looked at as any type of dictator or somebody that, well, he said, so that means that's all it is. No, because as you said, the people in that position are still up for scrutiny, they are for exhibit, they are for to be examined under the microscope. We have to be held accountable because we answered God.
Mm-hmm.
And the same as everybody else. Nothing no different. So whereas some people and maybe in some other denominations, they whatever the preacher said, that goes. No. The preacher, I remember, I think I said it last week, whatever position a leader holds in a church, especially a male, he is no more than a man. There's nothing special. He's just a man. He has a desire to do work, to serve, but he should not be placed upon a pedestal, and he should not allow himself to be placed upon on a pedestal. So he's just like anybody else. I'm sure, Chuck, you can identify with that, and anybody that's been in the military, you're a soldier, but we also got what they call point men. Those guys that go out front first. So anybody gets shot, he's the first one to get shot. You know, he's the one with the target, more or less. But we are inspired to lead to the best of our ability, inspired by God. And what we say is supposed to be found in the scripture. Not what, well, I think, there's nothing wrong with saying I think this or I feel this way, but it still should coincide with what the scripture says. And if there isn't, don't go hand in hand, then we should be called upon it. Yes?
You remind me of that verse where it says, the Bereans
mm-hmm.
search the scripture
yes.
to see if it was so.
Mm-hmm.
And that really should be our guiding principle also.
That's right.
There's two that's true. That there men have been blessed with the ability to preach. They have an oracle ability. They know how to work the words, use the passion, create an atmosphere. They have that talent, if you will. And people become enamored with the talent, mm-hmm. with the delivery, not really focusing on the words.
What you're saying, right?
And so it's easy, but it's too easy to get enamored with the individual and say, well, because so-and-so said it, it must be so.
Mm-hmm.
It may be true, but what makes it so is the Word of God.
That's true. That's true. That makes me think about, and then we're going to get back to the lesson. One of the things I think that distracts people in different denominations, they tend to go to church for the show. You know, if whatever the way, as you were saying, how the way they present the message, oh, that preacher, he preached today. What did he preach about? You know, but he put on a show. He got their attention. And they were enthused with what he said. When you ask them what did he say, they don't know. Do they live what he said? Was he speaking from the Bible? If they not, then you'll see the difference soon as they leave out their door.
You hit it on the nail here, not too long ago. Because of the circumstances, we went to a different congregation, different worship.
Mm-hmm.
And brother, like you said, drums, the guitar, the four people standing with microphones, I was just hurtful. It was so loud. It was worse than a concert venue because they had those things going so blaring high and in a small room, and it was physically, to us, painful.
Mm-hmm.
And I, at the end of it, I wouldn't have told them so. I said, but anyway, yes, it's for the show, like you're mentioning.
Yeah.
It's for the show.
We have to pertain to the Word. Okay, can I get somebody else to pick up page 65 on that top of the page, the qualities?
The qualities Christians leaders ought to have say a great deal about the model for leadership. A business corporation will look for leaders able to make difficult decisions, smart and willing to put dividends above sentimental concerns for employees. By contrast, the church is looking for leaders who are temperate, dedicated to families, and peaceable. There are a few essentials, an elder in Titus 1:5 or overseer in Timothy 3:1 must have a family to be a husband of one wife and demonstrate his leadership in his family.
Mm-hmm.
You want me to go on?
Yeah, go ahead.
Many of the qualities are relative. For example, churches look for men who are peaceable, but there is no quantifiable scale to measure the degree to which they are to be peaceable. It is a quality elders are to have to some reasonable degree, because being peaceable and other qualities like it are not quantifiable.
Mm-hmm.
Quantifiable. Mm-hmm. Christians tend to overlook them. Churches are not like to appoint a man as elders who does not have a wife. They are more likely to appoint a man who is less than peaceable. The exercise of leadership entails a degree of authority. Still, the authority of the elders is not absolute. Only Christ has absolute headship over his church. The church needs to assess its leaders, and they compromise New Testament doctrine, become involved in immorality, or lose the respect of Christians. The church is justified to ask them to step aside. It is of great importance for the church to ask good men to serve so that such a situation never arises. Under normal circumstances, the church should submit willingly to the judgment of those appointed to serve. 1 Thessalonians 5:12 through 13 and Hebrews 13:7.
Okay. Those two scriptures also attribute to the fact of how we're supposed to give elders of people in that position, men of that position, the respect. And it's not so much as respect as every time they come in, you got to bow down to them. It's the respect of listening to what they are saying, even when you don't want to hear it. None of us, from the earliest age to the oldest age of adulthood, none of us wants to be corrected. Not that we think we're perfect. It's just when you think you're doing something right, you don't want nobody to come back and say, no, you're wrong. Just to hear the word, you're wrong or you're mistaken. But in order to grow and to have wisdom, you have to expect to be corrected. God corrects us whenever we do wrong, whenever we're going the wrong way. He points us in the right direction. And when we don't listen, still, he punishes us. Yes.
We know now, hopefully, at the stage of our Christian walk, that when those events happen, when we see his hand in correcting, mm-hmm. in admonishing, in disciplining, that we realize he's loving.
Yes.
He is loving.
Doing it in love.
We don't feel that at that moment, I would say. We don't feel happy. We don't. But again, that's for us who are mature in the Lord, understand, yeah, this is for my own benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bringing it to my attention. And may I do accordingly to your will so that I may be pleasing unto you.
Okay. Yes.
Well, you know, Wesley, I said it all along. The responsibilities of correctness of what's being taught within the church not just only lies on the elders.
Mm-hmm.
It lies on every member mm-hmm. that okay. is within a congregation. And an elder should be able to be humble enough to, when a member of the congregation notices, well, something is not quite right, to be able for us to go to him and say, I don't think that was quite right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a couple of times I did the same thing with Russ.
Mm-hmm.
It was my mistake because I misunderstood something, but Russ was approachable. You are approachable. Ray was approachable. And be able to find out, you know, what is really what. And we have to understand that there is a law that is for men, the government,
mm-hmm.
and there's a law of God.
Right.
And we all are responsible to admonish one another, to correct one another. Whether we be an elder or a teacher or a preacher or just a member of the congregation, we are all responsible. It's not just for the elders.
That's true. That's why, as Brother brought about, that's why we're supposed to read our scriptures.
Yeah.
The Bereans read it daily. We're supposed to read it daily, sometimes two or three times a day.
Yes, sir.
But to make sure that we be on the same page, because there shouldn't be nothing... Yeah. That regardless of who is bringing the message, where in our case we have different brothers bringing the message because we don't have a permanent minister at this time, but regardless of who and wherever you are, whoever is bringing the message, you should be able to approach them. And you should be able to be on the same page as they are when you have heard it to understand it. And if you're not, then that's what you're supposed to do, ask questions. That don't mean you jump up while the lesson is going on. Hey, well, I don't understand what you said right there. Can you repeat that, you know, decent and in order? After the period is over for worship, then you can approach whoever was speaking. Can you explain this to me, what you said? Can you show me where the scripture says that this is so? You know, thus says the Lord, so I can understand. Because how else am I, as an individual, going to be able to spread the word if I don't understand it myself? And I'm saying me, using the example of everybody that's in the congregation. You know, whether it be a visitor that comes in and understands what's being said, or whether it's somebody that's been in the church for 10 years, and they're going to go tell somebody else. They still need to know what they're saying. They still need to know the truth. Because by the same token, each and every one of us is going to be held accountable when we stand before judgment Well, you didn't say what the word said, and you didn't try to find out. We'll be held accountable for it. And that doesn't, because the preacher said one thing, or whoever the speaker was said one thing, you didn't quite fully understand it. Then that's your responsibility to seek and find out. Same way it is for a child going to school, or an adult going to an adult class, really class, whatever. If you're in a class and the teacher didn't explain it to you correctly, or you, so you don't understand it, it's your responsibility to go to the teacher and say, look, I didn't quite catch what you said. Because how else are you going to graduate that class and say that you know what you learned? I knew everything up to this point, but I didn't really quite understand that. So I got it up to that point, but I ain't quite sure about that. But now I'm going to graduate and say that I'm efficient in what I'm supposed to have learned. How can I do that? That's everybody's responsibility. One other thing, too, that brought out in this part, which is, I took it as kind of amusing on the lighter side that a man should be chosen that is married. I took it myself as saying that a married man should be able to deal with anything. Why so? That's why I said it was on the lighter side. Because marriage is a give and take. And you're not always right, regardless of what side of the fence you're on, male or female. You're not always right. So it's a give and take in order for to make this union work. But a person that's not apt to giving or taking correction or thinking that, well, it's my way or the highway, how can you lead anybody else, or how can you even spread the word? Because that's not what the word is about. The word is about serving. Christ was a servant. He didn't come here and say, you're going to do what I say or else I'm going to call 10,000 angels to get you straight. He came, even God gave everybody a choice. And even if you choose not to, he still gives you that choice. He tells you what the consequences are going to be, but he still gives you a choice. And the scripture said, choose you this day, that day is still here. You still have that choice as long as you're living and breathing. So if you choose not to, and we see it every day in the news, you can just walk outside, you can go anywhere. How many people will elbow you out the way to get in front of you and have no respect, no just common respect? What's the golden rule? Do it to others as you would have them. Would they want you to do that to them? No. But just did they feel it's okay to do that to you? They have no respect. They do whatever they want to do in this world. You can see it. So, God is gracious enough to give us grace. We in turn have to do the same thing. Okay, I talked enough. I'm sorry. A few more minutes. Let's try to. Any more comments? Let's go to Deacons. Deacons. Someone pick up on 65.
The Greek word translated deacon is rendered servant or minister in other contexts. Deacons serve the church. They serve their fellow man. For Jesus, ministry was of great importance, and he said, whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Matthew 20:26-27. Deacons are leaders. They lead by serving. Although Paul places no great emphasis on authority for either elders or deacons, the designations overseer and servant suggest that elders have responsibility for guiding the church that are distinctive to them. Deacons are subject to the authority of the elders. Most of the things churches are to look for in deacons are not so much qualifications as they are qualities. In that respect, the descriptions of elders and deacons are similar. There's no absolute scale to measure the degree to which man holds the mystery of the faith with clear conscience. 1 Timothy 3:9 says, but the quality is not to be overlooked. A deacon may serve the church by supervising a benevolence program, mowing the lawns of shut-ins, or teaching a Bible class. There's no end to possibilities for serving.
Okay, hold it right there. Everybody is supposed to be a servant.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Because we wear the name of Christ.
Yep.
Okay. So, now I know this is touchy, and I'm guilty, so I'm number one. I'm standing up number one. I'm guilty of it. Why is it that we, and I say we as Christians, think that it's always somebody else's responsibility to do what we're all supposed to do? As I said, I'm guilty. I have a problem with calling people the way I'm supposed to, visiting people the way I'm supposed to, checking on people like I'm supposed to. I'm trying to get better at it. And Lord knows, if I'm not going to say that way, but I don't think he would strike me down right now, but I know, already know, that's three things that I got to work on. So I'm striving every day to try to do better at that. Some days is better than others. Just like some days my legs work better than others. But we have to get away from that, because remember that the devil is always working on us each and every day we live, 24/7, and telling us, I think you ain't got to call him now. You can call him later. You ain't got to go by that now. You can go by it later. You can always put it off for later. But who's to guarantee how long later is going to be? And you know you're going to be here tomorrow. You know you're going to be here later today. We don't know. Well, we have to be more aware and not just keep putting it on the back burner. And like I said, I'm guilty. I'm confessing my sins in front of each and every one of you. I know I'm guilty, and I'm striving to work more toward it. That don't mean that I'm going to stop today. Cold turkey, point blank, I ain't going to never mess up. I'm going to do it. But I'm working toward doing better than I was before. And hopefully we all will work toward that goal to do better if we're going to wear the name of Christ. Okay, you can continue.
The Greek word for women is the same as the word for wives. Translations that render the word women in 1 Timothy 3:11 are suggesting that women ought to be appointed deacons as men are. Translations that render the word wives are suggesting that the qualities listed are for the wives of deacons, or perhaps the wives of elders and deacons. Nothing in the context resolves the interpretive question with finality. Although there is a sense in which all Christians are servants or deacons, Paul gave Timothy instructions about the appointed office in the church. The context is clear. In 3 verse 1, he uses the phrase office of overseer, and followed by describing the kinds of men who should be overseers. A few verses later, he wrote deacons likewise, and followed with a list of qualities to be found in deacons. Both elders and deacons are to be chosen by the church and appointed to their office.
Okay, thank you. Now, we see here interpretation, and we've had lessons on interpretation on Wednesday night, and we talked about it a little bit in our Sunday school lessons prior to today. Interpretations, how do you understand what the word means? When we see certain words that mean the same thing, T-H-E-R-E, there, T-H-E-I-R, there, how do you know which there you're talking about? It's the context of what you're saying, right? So, if they use the same words interpreted in the Greek language at that time for women as the same word as wives, then that would lead some people to think, well, as it was stated here, that you could make deacons out of women. Women has a very important role in the church, as we had discussed before, too, in previous lessons. But you don't necessarily have to have an office in the church as a deacon, be labeled that. You could be doing the same work and spreading the gospel, you will be. Mm-hmm. And setting an example, you will be. But to be holding an office in the church as a deacon, that should not be so. But you have some churches that have women deacons, women elders, women preachers. Now, it's not my job, and it's not each and every one of you all's job to go to any particular church and tell them, you're not doing right. You're not doing what the Bible said. You already know. You're supposed to spread the word to who you come in contact with and tell them. If you get in a conversation with them, a particular person of another faith or whatever, and they want to discuss that, then you can go to the scriptures and show them. If they are in the church and reading the word of Christ, they should be able to understand and see it. Because, as it stated here, just in this book, you may think that you can place women in the role of digging. But when you read the scriptures, it lets you know the husband of one wife, how is that woman going to be able to do that? As they said, likewise, it should be like they should be have the qualifications of their husbands, which means all those qualifications of peaceable, patient, being able to speak the word, being able to be blameless, not being perfect, but being blameless as in someone can't call you up and say, well, I saw you standing on the corner smoking the other day, or I heard you cursing the other day, or I heard you doing things that wasn't becoming of a Christian, and now you're going to preach to me. That is being called having something in reproach. That is being having something to be blamed for. That is putting yourself, as we say, in the wrong light. We as Christians always got to walk in a manner in which we'll be becoming of Christ. Because we not only make ourselves look bad, but we make Christ look bad, and we make our whole church look bad. Yes, Charlotte.
Well, it said, because I went to 1 Timothy 3:11, mm-hmm. when it said that 1 Timothy 3:11 are suggesting that women ought to be appointed as deacons as men are. Mm-hmm. Go to 1 Timothy 3:11 and read it and tell me, everybody go to 1 Timothy 3:11 and tell mm-hmm. me, does it say that?
What version of scripture are
I'm
you reading?
NIV.
NIV.
But go to 1 Timothy 3:11 mm-hmm. because here in the book it's saying that 1 Timothy 3:11 are suggesting that women ought to be appointed as deacons. Go there and read it and tell me, is it suggesting that? It's just saying which she should. It said, in the same way that their wives are to be women worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate, trustworthy in everything. Is that suggesting that she should be a deacon?
No.
That scripture, so in this book, if someone was studying out of this book mm-hmm. and really didn't know the word, that would mess them all up right there.
Okay, let's look at the context of what is being said. Likewise, starting off with likewise.
Right.
Likewise meaning they need to have the same qualification. And they list the qualification. What qualifications are you listing? Reverend, not slanderous, which
right.
means gossiping
right.
and stuff. Temperate, meaning having patience. And faithful in all things.
Right.
That's what that scripture, that verse means. Not saying, likewise, they need to be
made. I know what this scripture is saying. But reading this sentence right here would mm-hmm. mess someone up that a woman could be, you know, appointed as a deacon. And then it's all about titles.
Right. That's worldly things.
Title.
Yeah.
So if a woman, you know, that want a title in mm-hmm. the church, because some do,
yeah.
that title, she would read this. It's all I can feel. It didn't gonna say it right here, but it does not say it over here. This just someone writing, but I don't know if they.
Let's look at verse 12. What does it also say? That deacons be the husband of one wife.
Right.
How is she going to be a husband? Of, I mean, man, in the, today's world,
yeah.
You they yeah. might can claim
yeah.
that because, you know, laws have been changed and whatnot. And
but you know people are not going to read before and after. They're going to read just that one.
But this, look, this is where we come in at.
Yeah.
This is our part.
Yes.
Like I said, it's not for us to go busting up in nobody's church
right.
and telling them what they're doing wrong. But when we get in a conversation with somebody and they want to talk, if they will listen, and we have a chance to, like you said, pull out scriptures, then let's show them.
And, you know, not just, and, you know, we can't keep on staying in other places. We have to watch it
yes.
in
our households, in our...
You know, because, you know, it's getting so now that we want to be like other people.
Well,
you know, so I'm not saying we here. I'm just saying we general. You know, all churches are like we said yesterday. All churches are crisis. Does not go.
That's right. Don't
by
go.
But they do worldly things.
Right.
So you know, we can't always keep saying other places. We got to be in that number too, because all churches are crisis. That's not doing what they're
and
supposed to be doing too.
That's what I'm saying. That's why we have to study to show ourselves
yeah.
approved, and so we can be able to talk. And tell them and show them in scripture what does it say. And we don't have to argue with them. All
right.
We have to do is spread the seed.
Mm-hmm.
Show them in scripture this is what it says. And explain it the best way
mm-hmm.
we can.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get
yeah.
carried away with
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, this might help Charlotte.
Go help me.
This is a translation of 3:11.
Okay.
In the same way, the women are to be worthy of respect. Not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. So see, that's an NIV translation.
Uh-huh.
So that can be confused right there.
Uh-huh.
Instead of, my ESV says, their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, right here in this version of scripture, it could be taken for talking about women as deacons.
Mm-hmm. Again, what she said too, we have to keep in mind, are we keeping Christ first or are we putting ourselves first?
Mm-hmm.
A person that is going to look at it that way because they want the spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to be recognized.
They're trying to justify.
Right. I think I can do that. You know, it could be somebody that, and here's a maybe a typical one, a small congregation where, and we are that example, a small congregation where we have more women than we do men. Some woman could say, well, I think I could get up there and serve the Lord's table. We don't have enough men no way. So, you know, and I'm going to justify that, as a woman would say. I'm going to justify that because we don't have enough men. So it's okay for us to do that. And then she's going to talk to this sister. And this sister, and I don't know if you've thought about it before, well, she kind of like on the fence about it. She don't see nothing wrong because she don't understand what the scriptures are saying enough. And she said, well, she's not agreeing or disagreeing, but she's just listening. And then she's talking to another sister. And it's starting to spread that, well, who has anything, anybody said, nobody got nothing wrong to say that we can't do this. Why can't we do this? And we go, maybe they don't have a preacher. Maybe they don't have an elder. But they got enough women where they jump up and start doing this in that particular church. I mean, it has been done.
But what if the church is just all women?
In that too.
Some
churches have women preachers because of that. No one to oppose them. And they got the word.
Mm-hmm.
But they still, I don't see nothing wrong with it. Because, why? They are motivated to do what they want to do, not what thus says the Lord. That is the difference of where a Christian comes in at. If you are searching the scriptures daily, trying to understand whether you're using the NIV, the New King James, the any commentaries that you can understand, and even the internet, and you go to it and you're searching to find the truth, number one, if you're searching, the Lord's going to show you. Mm-hmm. He's going to show you the truth. Now, if you're diligently searching, trying to find the truth, you will see that. You will get an understanding of that. But if you just want to make it so, then you're going to find all kinds of excuses because the devil going to help you. Just say that you can do it any kind of way you want to do it. It's okay. And yeah, you ain't got enough men. That's the, hey, who going to say something about that? Yeah, we got willing sisters to work. You know, he's going to show you everything just like he did with Eve. Did the Lord really say? You know, he's going to question you and he's going to build you up on false pretenses until someone comes along with the word and explains the word. And then you're going to feel like, well, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, well, you're going to take me down from my position. No, I'm not having that. So we're going to get you out. But to talk about what you're saying or the whole truth to what you're saying, it can be maybe looked at it that way. Mm-hmm. And from your interpretation, you might see it that way. But are you really searching the truth? Are you praying to the Lord to give you understanding? If you are, then you're going to see it the way he wants you to see it, which is the truth. That it says, likewise, in the context of what is being said, likewise, the wives, even though the wives and women had the same name, and probably the same at that particular time, they had the same prestige in society. I don't know if that's the right word or not, but they were on the same level, so to speak, a woman and a wife. Didn't have too much that they could say. But you have to look at what the context is saying. What is the understanding of it? Likewise, like their husbands, mm-hmm. like the men that are appointed, they have to have the same qualities. Mm-hmm. If they do not, and that doesn't mean because they got the qualities, then they can automatically
see,
be a deacon.
That's why they read this scripture. Like this was saying, it suggested.
Yeah, because it has been suggested.
What this man said, whoever wrote this lesson. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that's why I said, that's why I went to the scripture. I said, I never saw that. You know,
It's suggested in this book because it was understood that way at one point. The translations of who you calling a wife or who you calling a woman.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's what he's saying.
That, but what I was trying to get at, I understand all of that.
Okay.
And I know that we can. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying someone studying out this book mm-hmm. that really didn't know the word and a woman, and read this, she might think, okay, well, women can't be. Might have come from somewhere else that were women deacons. And she reading this, and this is not God's word that this man wrote right here.
No.
But that's what I'm
lesson.
Saying. I understand it. That's why I say go to this. It does not say that to me because, mm-hmm. I read it. I'm like, well, where'd that come from? You know?
Right.
But I'm just saying someone else reading it.
That's why we come in.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say again here, when you just read the Bible, mm-hmm. I think you get deceived a lot easier. But when you go into really studying it, if I come across something like that, that might suggest one thing that you already knew should or should not be, then I go either before or after those verses to see how does this even fit into this.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's called getting the context.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's why I always say there is a difference between just reading the Bible and really studying what you're doing.
Right.
And if any questions, you should always go to someone who'd be willing to.
My wife's coming right behind me.
All right. Thank you.
Help you to see it more clearly.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yeah, that's what you call getting the context
right.
of what's being said. Because too many people, and they still do it today, take one scripture, one verse out of scripture.
They don't go
before I'm back.
But they take that to use it, just like,
I
can drink wine because Jesus turned water into wine. So I can drink wine. Where does it say in the Bible that Jesus drank wine? Anybody ever found it where in the Bible, in the scripture that said Jesus drank wine? He turned water into wine. But I haven't seen nowhere where it said he drank wine.
Where does it say it was alcoholic?
Right.
Right.
Now,
they called the vineyards, wine vineyards, I mean.
That's right.
Right.
And, when they drank it in, it was for a purpose of helping to cleanse the stomach. And even at the Lord's Supper, he poured wine into the cup and passed it to his disciples and told them. And he told them, I will not drink from it again until I drink with you in the kingdom. But it did not say anywhere where he drank the wine. But someone can take that, well, Jesus turned water into wine, so it gives me the okay that I can drink all the wine I want. That's not so. But people would do that. Not following the context. Not even a scripture before or a scripture after. Sometimes you might have to read the whole chapter, to understand what they're talking about.
Sometimes you have to read it over and over before you get the true meaning.
That's true.
And really, we as women should ask ourselves the question, why did God chose men to be the leaders within their home and within the church?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because Eve was deceived first, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Yes.
And not to harp on it, I think the version has everything to do with it. The two versions listed here, one is, I think, the New American Standard Bible,
mm-hmm.
and the other one is like the New Revised and followed in the Catholic Church. If you look up the versions, over the course of time have been diluted or whatever they want to call it to help that group. Like one of them is truly saying is the NRSV is the New Revised Catholic Bible.
Okay.
So, you know.
Well, it got four different versions, really.
Well, I'm just looking at the 1 Timothy 3:11,
mm-hmm.
And it talks about the NASB, which is the New American Standard Bible. So version has everything to do with it.
Yes, it
does.
You
got to go back to your source and maybe build up. Like Lynette had the English, because I had that version, the New King James, the King James. So we got to start with, like you said, we're going to read, but we need to read the versions and start maybe with the beginning. I might not understand the ye and the theys, but see it there. Then maybe see how the King James or the New King James changes from the King James. And like you said, you still get the same context because my version is the King James. Even so, must their wives be.
Mm-hmm.
So if my husband's a leader in the church, then I need to be the same. I can't be fast and loose and doing my thing thinking, oh, that's just his title.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just him. I represent his house. I represent our house.
That's right. The whole point, as we stated, you have to search the scriptures to get the understanding, the context, and it just don't mean one or two versions. The more you search, the more better understanding you will have. And as we're going to wear the name of Christ, we have to understand and know what he's saying. Thank you all for your contribution.